for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Saturday afternoon, 1:15, Ladies Deliverance Service, May 27, 2006. Gail Patton is the speaker of this service, teaching on how we soon forget.
Okay, now today when I was deciding what to talk about, actually, Cheryl gave me the brilliant idea for this, what I was going to talk about today. I think I had been thinking about this. This is something that I have been thinking about for years, and I've been trying to teach people about it and tell people about it, warn people about it. But it really brought it home when Cheryl said last camp meeting at the on April 14th, I wrote that down. She said, every time I praise him, I remember what he did for me the last time.
Good.
If you can just remember what he did for you the last time.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Amen. You need to remember one thing. It's better to remember lots of things. It's better to be, well-versed in all of his benefits.
Yeah.
But when I listened to Cheryl, I looked up this verse, Psalm 145:7. They shall abundantly utter the mercy of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness, and they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. I forgot your name already.
Priscilla.
Priscilla. Oh, you told me. Priscilla. Read your verse.
Father, the light of the eyes, the joy of the heart, and the good report
of the back. Okay, now that's one of my, I want you to hand me that verse back again, because I'm going to go over that again in a minute. Make us a bones fact. Listen, this is not only good for you spiritually, but this is good for you physically. Now, the reason I'm going over this, and I want to talk about this, and I'm going to have you folks read your verses, and I want you to just kind of read them fast. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The reason I'm going over this is because what's been going through my mind the last couple of years, and something I've been doing more of, is teaching people one of the reasons why they lose their deliverance and their healing. There are lots of reasons. Dr. Dahl's got some great tapes on reasons why people lose their deliverance and healing. And there's a lot of good tapes. Just ask Patty if you want some real detailed information. I'm not going to go over the many reasons why we lose our deliverance. I'm going to go over one thing that is a big reason. And if you can learn this and pass this on to other people, they will have half the battle. It's not the only reason. There's a lot of reasons. If you get delivered from pornography and then you go back on the internet, and you're gonna. You know, I don't care how much you praise the Lord for delivering you. If you go back on the internet and look at pornography, it's gonna come back. There's a lot of reasons why demons come back and people lose their healing and deliverance. But this is a biggie. Okay, go first. Luke 1:49. You don't have to look them up. I just want you to read them fast.
For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, propitious favor, and holy is his name.
Okay, who's got one over here? Okay, Kate.
I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercy, according to the multitude of his loving kindness.
Betty?
All right, it's Psalm 66:20, and it says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And my NIV says, praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Not rejected my prayer. Who's that one? Just raise your hand. Go ahead.
The Lord delivers him out of affliction. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Out of them all. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I forgot your name right next to her.
Terry.
Terry, go ahead.
Psalms 98:1, a song. Most sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. To be open wide or free, safe, to avenge, deliver, help, preserve, save, summon.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
All generations. With my mouth I will make known.
Yes.
Psalm, what is that again?
89:1.
So 89:1. Okay, you can give me those cards back later. But this is so important. I want to, because when you receive something from the Lord, when you receive deliverance and you receive healing and you receive something from the Lord, He wants you to talk to Him. He doesn't just want you to talk. He requires you to talk about it. And you don't forget. He requires that you don't forget. Now, sometimes we forget, you know. You can't remember everything, but you can talk about the things you do remember.
Yeah.
And I want to look up Mark 8:14-21. Mark 8:14-21. Now, this is something really important that Jesus had to say about it. And so I want to start off with that. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Have you forgotten already? You don't remember? Is your heart hardened? Is your heart hardened? Don't harden your heart. I've been there, done that. Don't do it. You've been there, done that. Don't do it again. We've all been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And sometimes things come back. And sometimes this is the reason. Now let's continue on what... sometimes we don't realize it. I'm going to go over some of the ways and maybe then you'll think, yeah, I guess I have been there, done that. Mm-hmm. Well, some of the things I want you to do, if some of you have a pen, some of you don't have a pen and pencil, but when you come to things that you think... oh, yeah, this is something I might need deliverance from, or maybe a family member or a friend. It doesn't have to be just you. Just kind of jot it down, because I'm going to ask you at the end of this, because we're going to do deliverance, for these things that cause us to forget the goodness of God. And we all do it. We help for various reasons. We don't. Now, some people have honed the skill a lot better than others. Fern and Mildred, for instance. But they've been... You know, you've been practicing longer than we have. And some people learn quicker than others. I've been a Christian for 35 years. Shame on me when I forget. But anyway, back to this verse, 18. And you don't remember? When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said unto him, 12. Verse 20. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you don't understand? How is it that you don't understand? He was cautioning them not to harden their hearts, like the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? Okay, let's turn just back to Matthew 16:12. 6 through 12 is the same story. Look at verse 12. Matthew 16:12. 6 through 12 is the same story, but he explains the leaven of the Pharisee. He doesn't exactly explain it here, but let's look at that. Matthew 16:12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the teaching. Okay, the leaven is the doctrine. He was telling them to beware of the doctrine of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wasn't telling them to think about the leaven of the bread. The doctrine, he told them that they were forgetting. And he told them they didn't remember. So soon you forget? How soon? That's the name of this talk, in case you're wondering. How soon we forget. How soon they forget. And they did really quickly. They forgot quickly. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Then let's look at Luke 12:1 explains explicitly what the teaching or the doctrine of the Pharisees is. Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So in Jesus' mind, and in what Jesus is explaining, that hypocrisy is forgetting the goodness of God and hardening your heart. And there's a lot of reasons why we do it, and I want to hit a few of the reasons why we do it, but remember that forgetting is hypocrisy. And not remembering the goodness of God is hypocrisy. And we don't want to be hypocrites. We all know we don't want to be hypocrites.
It's not giving, what it is not giving credit where credit is due. You know, you remember, sometimes we remember something that the Lord did a few years ago, but then somehow we kind of quit giving him the credit for what he did a few years ago. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes, though, the people that I've seen where they come back and the infirmities come back and the demons come back is those who change their stories over the years. Mm-hmm. The stories change over the years. Mm-hmm. And that's not giving God the credit. It's not giving credit where credit is due. You know, the Israelites continually forsook what God had done for them. Continually. The whole Old Testament is about God working, the Hebrews being happy, the Hebrews forgetting. God working, they'd be happy to forget. God works. Okay, that's basically that's one of the themes that just runs throughout the entire Old Testament. And we do the same thing. We forget what God has done for us. We've been there. We have been hypocrites. And there are a zillion verses that talk about remembering and meditating on what the Lord has done for us. I just want to read one right here. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. And Psalms is full of this. You cannot turn a page without finding something in Psalms that admonishes you to speak out about, sing about the mercies of the Lord, the goodness of God. Psalm 63, 6 and 7, my soul should be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. Now this verse, I just got to talk about Mildred for a minute. Mildred is such a perfect example. This verse, just when I saw this verse, I thought, oh, this is Mildred. Proverbs 15:30. You know, we always think of Mildred as being so healthy. And when I grow up, I'll be as healthy as she is. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. A good report makes the bones fat. I want to have fat bones. You know, fat bones means that your marrow basically is in good shape, is what the Bible's talking about. And I was talking to Mildred yesterday at lunch, and she was very politely sitting and listening to all the conversation. And then I decided, well, we haven't really been talking to Mildred very much. We've been a little bit on the rude side. And so I started talking to her. I just said maybe one or two things, a sentence maybe. She probably quoted half the verses that we just went over. And she talked for 2 minutes solid straight about the goodness of God. You do that, you're going to have fat bones. Mm-hmm. Going to have fat bones like Mildred. Judges, I'm just going to read this one. I'll tell you when to turn to it. Judges 5:11. They that are delivered from the noise of the archers in the places of drawing water, there they shall rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Now here he reminds us to rehearse the acts of the Lord. And rehearsing, basically, what I wrote down the definition there in the Bible of that Hebrew word, it means attribute honor, ascribe praise, celebrate, commemorate. You need to learn to commemorate the acts of the Lord. Because, you know, I don't think of, oh, there's things that God does for us every day, all day long, you know. And we notice sometimes and sometimes we don't. But usually when we get healed or delivered, we notice.
And I'm really talking about healing and deliverance right now. I'm talking about rehearsing, celebrate, commemorate. You know, you can tell me the same story about getting healed and delivered a zillion times, and I'm not going to get tired of it. I am going to be very glad when you tell me the same story over and over again. You need to commemorate. You need to rehearse. This word is rehearse, Judges 5:11. Here he reminds us to do that. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has healed me. He's healed me over and over again. And many times I forget. I don't talk about it. I don't rehearse these things. I've got to get out of that habit of not rehearsing the things God does for me. You know, if he healed me once, he's going to heal me again. In Hebrews, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, you may have gotten your big toe healed to yesterday. Does that mean that next week he's not going to heal it? Now, we don't care that much about our big toes, but we do care about cancer, don't we? We know, and we need to, when God uses them to heal people in the name of Jesus and get people delivered, we need to tell them that.
Yes.
We need to tell them there's a lot of things they need to know. They need to really get committed to the Lord. There's things like go and sin no more. You know, there's all kinds of things that Jesus said about keeping your deliverance, but this is important. You need to tell them. This verse, Psalm 77:9-12. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah, 10, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. Don't lie about your infirmity. I'm not talking about saying when somebody asks you, oh yes, in faith I'm believing that this cancer in my arm is leaving. No, you don't need to lie about it. Don't say things like, well, so-and-so prayed for me once, so now I've got to act in faith. No, you need to tell the truth to people, and people will pray for you, and they will cast these things out, and it will go. And if it doesn't go the first time, it will go the second time.
Amen.
It's not the third, second time, the third time. You don't give up the ship. Verse 10. This is Psalm 77, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, meaning weak or worn, weak or sick, diseased, grieved, pain. Infirmity does not always mean illness. But I will remember the years of the right hand of God of the Most High. If he healed you of cancer of the liver, he will heal you of cancer of the breast. So many times people will say, praise the Lord for healing the cancer of my liver, and then they turn to the doctor for the healing of the whatever. And it's not that such a horrible thing. I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. I'm telling you, if God didn't want to, that's the way he is. That is his nature. If you may, we're not going to go into the reasons why you may get something right now. We're just going to stick to this subject. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all of thy work and talk of thy doings. I used to keep a journal, and I've got to get started on this again. It really was great. Every time God did something great, I put it in there. And it's full of healings and deliverances, and I used to just love to go back through there and read them. It's a wonderful thing to do, and I'm going to start doing it again, because it's a wonderful way to rehearse and remember. Remember the things of old. That will help you receive more easily the new healings, the new things you need to receive, the new deliverances. And we need to always give credit where credit is due. Forget not his all his benefits. Psalms 103:2-4. I'm just going to read this quick. Everybody knows this by heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?
Yes.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Is the devil trying to destroy you?
Yes.
John 10:10.
Yes.
1 Peter 5:8. There's lots in the Bible. The devil's trying to destroy you, and he'll keep on. He didn't quit yesterday. He's going to be doing it tomorrow, too. When you go home, he's going to be doing it. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. It doesn't say here that he'll heal you of a sore throat yesterday and forget you when you're 60. He's not going to forget about you. He's not going to change his mind about this. If he wanted you well today, he wants you well tomorrow.
Amen.
If he healed you of cancer yesterday, he's going to heal you of cancer tomorrow. He hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't changed. It's usually us who change. In Revelations
in Revelation 12:11, it talks about speaking about the things the Lord has done for us. You know, it talks about, and they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome Satan by the blood. His stripes, by his stripes, we were healed. We overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The continuing that overcoming requires the word of your testimony.
Amen.
Now, Betty, quick.
Okay.
Just stand up and speak loud.
Okay. Yesterday, when Dr. Mills called out depression, I felt it lifted off of me, and I went into holy laughter. About that time, he called out the spirit of the girdle, and I just got
depression. She felt depression leave. Okay, there she did it. She did. Revelation 12:11. By the word of their testimony, she will continue that overcoming depression by the word of her testimony. Now, the blood of Jesus heals us to begin with and sets us free, and it's all in the atonement to begin with. We need to do what it takes to keep it. We do. Well, Revelation 12:11, by the word of their testimony. There's a fellow that came to our house not too long ago it was about a year ago that had cancer, and Mike prayed for his healing, and basically it was a deliverance session, and he had serious cancer of the kidneys, and his doctor said, we're going to have to do surgery quick. We're going to have to do surgery quick because I'm afraid you're going to be dead pretty soon if we don't. And his color looked really awful. He really looked terrible. He said, I'm feeling pretty bad. And he was kind of a proud person and should have known a lot about deliverance, had known the Lord for a long time, but really, really wasn't interested until now to get anything about deliverance. So he was delivered, and right after the deliverance, he says, oh, boy, I feel great. You could really tell that he looked a lot different. He looked good. His color came back, and he said, yeah, I haven't felt this good in years. I think I'm back to normal. Praise the Lord. I think I'm healed. And so then he went throughout the town. He would see people, and he was a nurse, and he'd seen people that he knew and former nurses that worked with him, and they said he's from Mount Carmel. We have three people that have heard. Actually, we did. Anyway, he went through and he saw friends, and they said, oh my goodness, you look so wonderful. What happened? He said, well, I got healed. The Lord touched me. I got healed. And about 3 or 4 days later, he had had he had had when he came to our house an appointment with the doctor to go over the plans for the surgery. And so he did keep the appointment for the doctor because he wanted the doctor to see how Brady's doing. So the doctor did all the testing and did lots of things, and he said, what happened? I don't see any sign of cancer. And this is great. I don't think we're going to plan any surgery. Not yet. Let's wait a while. You know, the doctor's going to ask us. So he said, we'll see in about 3 months just to check, you know, and be sure everything's okay. So the doctor said to him, what did you do? And he said, oh, I decided to go the health food route.
Oh, no.
I'm just giving you one example. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but you need to teach people this. People who get healed and delivered, they need to learn this.
That's right.
He says, soul is dead now. And this just happened a short time ago. He was fine for a while. He had a horrendous surgery, and even his parents believed quite a bit about deliverance. And I called his mother I called her and I said to talk to her about it and talked about the doctor's appointment and how he's doing. And he's doing well. He's doing well. Good. I said, well, and that's how I learned about what he said at the doctor's office from his mother. And he never gave any credit to the Lord. Or he wasn't willing to admit to the doctor that he had a demon and had to be cast out, demons. And he wasn't willing to speak the truth, wasn't willing to speak out and sing of the mercies of the Lord. And I'm just giving you one example. I can't tell you how many times we've run across this, where a person is just absolutely fine. They decide that they change their testimony
and they're not fine anymore. Mm-hmm. It happens over and over and over. Sometimes I think, I can't believe I didn't drill this into him. Because he knew better. He was a mature Christian. I tend to drill this into young Christians, Christians that don't seem to have a clue. So I didn't think I had to tell him this. I thought this was a no-brainer for him. And turns out that it wasn't. I think the key verse for this, Luke 8:29, I think I want to just go over this. I'm just going to read it. The key verse, Luke 8:29. Jesus said to the Gadarene demoniac, and you know what he said when he wanted to follow him. He had a legion cast out, he wanted to follow him, and Jesus said, return to thine own house and show, which means relate fully, declare, show, tell. That's what that means. He said, show how great things God has done for you. Mm-hmm. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And that's the kind of thing we need to do. There was another girl that had gotten deliverance over the phone. This was many years ago. This was like 15 years ago. She had gotten deliverance for multiple sclerosis over the phone. And she was just fine. For years, for 15 years, she was fine. And one day, her father is a good friend of ours, and we spent a lot of time with us, and he was a wonderfully committed Christian, and we were asking him about it. Well, how's she doing? And she said, because at the time, Mike called her back about 3 days and said, are you still healed of multiple sclerosis? And she said, well, yeah. She said, I don't have any symptoms anymore. I'm healed. Praise the Lord. And she knew that she was going through deliverance over the phone. And at the time, she told her father about this. We asked her father about 15 years later, how's she doing? And he said, well, you know, I think she's having a little trouble. And we said to him, do you remember what happened? Did she tell you about what happened? He said, yeah, I remember. I remember what happened. She told me. She got delivered from multiple sclerosis. And then he went back, he called her, and so we were curious because we wanted him to, because we wanted her to get deliverance again. And so we thought maybe he could do a little preliminary and just set it out in the clear blue sky. We'll call, because we tend to not do that. It's like going through the hospital and just trying to heal everybody. You can't just call people up and drag them into deliverance. But we were hoping that maybe he could, you know, clear the way for some more deliverance since she was having trouble with multiple sclerosis again. And he reported back to us. He said, no, she won't listen to me. She doesn't even remember. She does not even remember the deliverance over the phone. Had she been rehearsing that, she probably would have been happy to get deliverance over the phone again. Now, that's just the way it goes. And you're going to find that. In your deliverance ministries, I'm sure you've found it before. I'm sure that these two ladies in the back could come up and give us a lot more information about this than I can, because they've been in the deliverance ministry for a long time. But this is something I'm trying to warn you against so that it doesn't happen in your life and that it doesn't happen in the lives of the people you get healed and delivered. It will. It'll happen. Don't get discouraged. Just go on. Because even people that find themselves doing the wrong thing, they can be turned around. You can turn them back around. That happens all the time. There was another girl on the phone that was delivered of a... She felt like, with emotional problems, she felt like she was losing her salvation, that she was going to go to hell. And we spent a long time talking to her about deliverance and trying to give her some teaching, because she basically knew nothing about deliverance. She knew zero. She was in Michigan, no, further north than that. I can't remember for sure, Wisconsin. I'm not sure where she was. It's up north. And we were on the phone. And we spent, two or three phone calls just giving her some teaching before we did the deliverance, because she was really didn't know anything about it. We did deliverance over the phone. She was fine. She was praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it's like a veil is off my eyes. I understand now what you're talking about. Hallelujah. I was safe. I'm still safe. I'm going to heaven. I don't think I'm ever going to have this. Her marriage was on the rocks because of it, because it was driving her husband nuts. Okay. She was... started to tell about the mercy of the Lord. And her pastor stopped her dead in her tracks. Said, you're going to run across this. This doctrine, if people go to churches where the doctrine is a Christian can't have a demon, they're going to have a hard time keeping it. A real hard time. Because they will have a very difficult time with the testimony. and they will be shut down when they do give their testimony. And so she is back in that condition, only worse than before. She's worse than before, and her marriage is even more unstable than it was. Even though we warned her, of this very thing, you know, that you're going to have a... And she believes it. She says, oh, yes, I understand what you're saying. This had to be a demon. You cast it out, it's gone. You know, she understood what we were saying. People will understand what you're saying, but they will still have a problem with rehearsing the goodness of God. Not everybody. I'm just saying this is a problem. This is one of the reasons people lose their healing and their deliverance. Just one. One of many reasons. Okay, another one of the things about this is I'm going to give you two stories about what caused them to lose their healing was basically fear of man. I had that verse written down somewhere. You guys will probably find it eventually. I don't know where it is, but basically what happened, we had a real good friend. Fear of man. Okay. We had a real good friend in California. We live in California part-time because of business, and so we have a wonderful Christian couple of friends of ours, and this fellow, Ken Moore, he's a retired colonel in the Marines. He drags my boss to get people healed and delivered. And they have a good old time. And they went to San Diego one time. I didn't go with them. I wish I had, because this lady had a wonderful healing. She had a huge tumor of the size of a basketball. And some people may wonder, why do you always tell stories? You always talk about this and that. Because I think you can remember things better with stories. I personally, if I can relate to a story, I remember it better. That's one of the reasons I really remember things that Carla teaches about. She has this wonderful way of telling about, just she tells about her life, and it's so transparent to the things that that you can remember. And actually, Patty is really, she's very animated. And I learned so much from her tape. Get her tape on affection. The tape on affection. I do not have the affection for food I used to have because of that tape. Anyway, no rabbit trails. And I haven't lost a whole bunch of weight yet, but I don't have that affection anymore. She delivered me. Hallelujah. Now, two stories about the fear of man. Okay. They watched this huge tumor that was the size of a basketball when they were praying. The reason why Ken would drag Mike all the time is because he was still not at a point where he felt like he could do this himself. Besides, it is better to go by twos. It really is better to go by twos. Ken would find the sick people, and then he would drag Mike. And he would help him. He's a very good helper because he's a believer in healing. And they watched this basketball go down. Okay, they were pretty happy about it, to say the least, the husband and wife. She didn't have to have surgery. She was very happy about it. Happy, happy, happy. Everybody's happy. I don't have a basketball in my stomach anymore. That sounds like something to be happy about, right?
Yes.
Well, she got sick again. And this time it wasn't a basketball in the stomach. And so Ken called, and he said, oh, Mike and I are going to come down. Pray for that. Won't that be wonderful? We'll come and get rid of that, too. And they said, no. And Lisa said, no, don't come. We're going to a church that doesn't believe that Christians can have demons. And so we don't want you to come in. We just said, we don't believe that way. We're going to. Pretty hard to believe that people can forget that badly. But it happened. Hard to believe. But it happens. I'm telling you, it happens a lot. And they wouldn't let me, because they were afraid. The husband had a pretty good position in the church, I guess, and he was afraid that they would find out that she had a demon cast out, and they might not like them so well anymore. He might not, you know, I don't know exactly. I don't know the details. But Mike just said all he knows, the only detail he knows is that the church would not go along with deliverance. Therefore, they didn't want to have any more deliverance. Okay. Here's another story about that, where a woman was healed at Ken's house. This was they were talking about, Ken had been healed, teaching about a deliverance. And so this lady was sick, so Mike and Ken prayed for him and prayed for her, and she was healed, and everybody was happy, happy. The husband had been a Jew, and he had become a Christian, and he was supposedly I say supposedly because he was really the problem here.
he was became a. There were other reasons why Ken and Mike left a particular church that they were all going to at the time. Now, there are other reasons. It doesn't have anything to do with healing and deliverance for why we left this church. But when she got sick again, and this time she's in a coma in the hospital, Mike and Ken come in to pray for her again because she was so happy the first time. They figured well, she'd be... They, and the husband was so elated the first time that he'd want to have her get healed again, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
We didn't have any reason to believe he was hoping for her death. But since Mike and Ken left that church, he had a high position in the church. And he, his pastor in that church had come to pray for her days earlier, and nothing happened. And that's why Ken and Mike were there. Ken heard about it, and Ken's like, oh, you know, Ken's like a little pup dog. Oh, boy, we're going to go get her healed again. And so they're there, and they're praying for her. And it was a, I asked Mike, was this a deliverance? He said, no, this was like a miracle. He said, they just laid hands in the power of God. They just thoroughly touched her in the power of God. And she rose up. She was in a coma. She rose up in bed. And here she is in bed. She's taking the oxygen off, pulling out tubes. I guess she had breathing tube in, and she's yanking that out. And she's taking her IV out, and she's getting out of bed wanting to get dressed. And the husband had been over in the corner talking to people, whispering with other people that were there about Ken and Mike, those crazy people over there praying for her. And when she started to get out of bed and get dressed, instead of them rejoicing that she's not in a coma, she's rejoicing. They're not rejoicing. The nurse comes in, panic, get back in bed, get back in bed. They start putting the tubes back in. And Ken's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you talking about? Don't you remember when she was healed before? I mean, he was like, Mike said, I've never seen anybody that was so so mad and glad at the same time. He was glad that she was healed, but mad at the husband because he wanted her to get back in bed. He didn't want to have any part of the power of God. Let's turn to John 9. John 9, okay. Jesus experienced this, you're going to experience it too. 9:15, and then the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said, he told me to go wash my eyes. 16, they said, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath. And the others, then some others said, well, how can a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Verse 17, and they say unto the blind man, what sayest thou that he opened thy eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Who do you say was born blind? And he sees now? And his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we knew not. Now, do you believe that? If you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn for you. And we know not. He is of age. Ask him. You know, pass the buck. We don't know who did it. Pass the buck. I'm sure that this was being published around. They knew who did it. And the Jews didn't want it to be Jesus, because they didn't want Jesus to be of God. And verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews.
Yeah.
For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents had fear of great fear of man. Now the felon, he stayed healed. I believe he stayed healed. We don't know he stayed healed. I think he stayed healed. I think he's thinking, hot dog, I'm out of the synagogue. I'm going to follow this guy. You know, who cares? This guy is the Messiah. Who cares? He's the Messiah. I'm sure the fellow that was blind was thinking. And that's the way we should think, too. Who cares what anybody thinks? God has done this thing for me. I don't care what anybody thinks. God has done this thing for me. And both of these were husbands that had the problem with these four women. They both died. And the husbands didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. They felt like that if they had to go back and admit that their wives got deliverance, or they were healed miraculously. In one case, it wasn't deliverance. In one case, it was just Glenn and Mike just started to pray, and she got up. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't deliverance, really. So, and then there's a verse here I'm just going to read, because
mention another story that's just the opposite. It's a similar thing in that she was almost dead. A friend of ours in California, the doctor basically said, you'd better get your affairs in order because there's nothing else I can do. You've got 2 weeks. If you're lucky, you've got 2 weeks. And she came to Mike and she asked him, what should I do? And I believe they were talking on the phone. I have never heard Mike say this to anyone on the phone before since. When I tell you this, you're going to think Mike is hard-hearted. So I know the Holy Spirit was telling him to say this. Because she said all the things she thought she might do. The one was a health food thing that she said, so-and-so says if I take this, it'll get rid of this. There's some kind of cancer. And the doctor, it was such a bad thing, the doctor didn't want to give her any kind of treatment, and no chemo or anything. And she said, so I'm trying to decide, and then so-and-so wants me to go to this doctor, and I've only got 2 weeks to go. And Mike said, well, don't you think you better go with God since you've only got 2 weeks? And that's not the hard part. That was kind of nice. What he said that was hard, because she's still contemplating, well, I don't know, maybe I should do this and this and this and do all three things, and you pray for my deliverance and healing, and Mike said, no, you're either going to go with God, or you either talk to me and do what I say, or don't do anything. You go do the health food thing, go to the other doctor, but don't listen to me and then go do something else. Yeah. You either depend on God or nothing. You've got to lose? You depend on God.
Right.
And don't be telling people that I wouldn't pray for you because you're doing this other stuff with this, that, and that. Don't ruin my reputation. I'm telling you, the Lord's telling you, go with God.
Amen.
That's what I mean by hard. I've never heard him tell anybody that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard him tell anybody that they're going to ruin his reputation. He didn't care. He knew she had 2 weeks to live. He's a friend. He was trying to wake her up.
Right.
And she said, well, yeah, you're right. I don't have a choice, do I? And he said, no, you don't have a choice. And she got deliverance, and she was fine within just a few minutes. And she published it all over. And she's kept publishing it.
Yeah.
First Chronicles, I'm just going to read this. First Chronicles 21:13. She did not turn to the hand of man. She did not go to another doctor. She turned to God. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. This is Joni. Great strait. That was her name. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, compassion. But let me not fall into the hand of man.
Yeah.
The power of man. We have got to come to that place that we realize that we don't tell people not to go to the doctor. We tell people to come to this conclusion themselves. The Holy Spirit is telling them to go with God. They need to go with God. Because God is our healer.
Yeah.
The Bible says He is our healer. And it is true. And if we believe it, we'll be healed. We'll be healed and delivered.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think I've got most of what I was going to go over. But no, I've got a very important thing to go over with you. I almost forgot. I've got two or three important things left to go over. Sorry, you're not off the hook yet. Okay. I just misplaced the cards. Okay. Now, here's the problem. Part of the problem is that we've been healed and delivered. For some strange reason, we don't believe that he'll do it again.
Yeah.
This is one of the problems. One of the reasons why we will not turn to the Lord again. The Lord healed my back of a terrible back problem a few years ago, and I was in such bad condition with my back that I was very afraid of ice. I was afraid that if I saw a patch of ice, it was just terrifying. I don't know if you've ever had a back problem. If you've ever slidden on ice when you've got a back problem, and what happens when you fall, it's terrifying. And I was afraid. I thought I would never ride a horse again. Now when I see a patch of ice, I'm and I love riding horses, and I'm healed. And praise the Lord, I'm healed. But if God did it once, He'll do it again. You know, everybody knows what 1 John 1:9 says, don't we?
I know what it says, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cleanses from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just. God is faithful and just. How many times, how often do you confess your sins? About every day. Sometimes several times a day.
Yeah. You know, I was taught the Baptist Church that was for the sinner, and I carried a load on my back for years because I didn't know what to do with the sin.
Yeah, well, we don't have any trouble believing that, do we? You believe that now, don't you?
The first thing I learned is when I went to Stripfield Church. 1 John 1:9.
Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have any trouble believing that God will forgive us over and over again.
No.
We all know what Matthew 18 says, too, about forgiving our brother from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we forgive our brother from the heart?
70 times 7.
Okay.
And?
How many times will God forgive you? Hey, she's good with math. I asked the right person. Anyway, you know, he'll forgive us at least 70. That's like nothing for God. We keep 490 times. How many days in a year? 360. Oh, goodness. I confess my sin and God forgives me a whole lot more than that a year. Okay, we don't have any trouble with that, do we? We don't have any trouble with that. If we need to learn to live like it. If we truly believe that God forgives hope over and over, then we would believe that he'll heal over and over. I like what, anyway, before we go over, I like what Carlos said yesterday. It goes along with what we're about to look at. Now, you don't need to look this up, James 5:14-15. If there ain't any sick among you, don't look this up now. There's another one I want you to look up, Mark 2:9. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now let's look at Mark 2. You say, what has healing got to do with forgiveness? That verse I just read has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to read something that Jesus said that has something to do with it. Mark 2:9. What has healing got to do with forgiveness? Okay, Mark 2:9. Jesus said, in 8, why reason you these things in your hearts? Because they were upset because he was forgiving sin. And he said, is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins. The Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins. What's that got to do with healing? It had everything to do with healing. Now we believe that God will keep forgiving us over and over again. But if you get that cancer of the breath again, are you going to believe God that he's going to heal you again? He's going to forgive you in 10 minutes. He's going to heal you in 10 minutes too. This is one of the things, how soon they forget. And not only how soon do we forget, we're not willing to go back and rehearse it. And say out loud, he healed me once of breast cancer. Oh, how dare you think he's not going to do it again? We need to have that attitude that we believe that, because we do believe that. We do know that. We know the Word of God says that. We know he forgives us over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Now, why isn't he going to heal us over and over and over and over and over? Why isn't he going to deliver us over and over and over and over and over? And healing and deliverance really cannot be separated. They're so intertwined. There's just, the Bible is full of verses like this one, 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy is not going to quit. So why do we have trouble believing this? We believe the 70 times 7. So we've got to get in the mode. You know, if anything happens to my back, you know, am I going to believe that he's not going to heal my stomach, my foot, my eyes? Well, I got my glasses on, but I am believing. You know, why does God heal my back and not my eyes?
That's right.
I do believe that my eyes are not healed, but I do believe God wants them healed. What's wrong with me? I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Anyway, I want to spend just a couple of minutes. Oh, there is one other verse I want to go over. Let us look at Luke 17:12-9. This is another thing. I wanted to just go over a few things that Jesus said. Luke 17. Because there's a lot in the Bible. I'm just barely touching. I just wanted to talk two or three things about what Jesus said about this. Okay, the 12th verse of Luke chapter 17.
And he was in love at first. He went into the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. He had mercy immediately. Jesus has mercy immediately. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and said with a loud voice, glorified God. He thanked God, gave glory to God. He gave credit where credit was due. 16, he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, he wasn't even in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
He was not in good standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord healed him just like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was not able to go in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, verse 17, we're not 10 cleansed, but there are 9. Where are the 9? I mean, 18, there are not found that, oh, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger, this guy who can't even go in the synagogue. And he said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think from that we can insinuate and infer that the other 9 didn't keep their healing. And I think if we don't give glory to God, we can infer that too. Don't be surprised. And that's true of deliverance. It's true of healing and deliverance. The two go on. Now, what I want you to do is just tell me. We want to have some deliverance on both things that might hinder us and our friends, maybe the people that we're teaching, maybe our Bible studies, maybe our pastors, maybe our families. Those things that hinder the ability to give God the glory, to give credit where credit is due, to remember our healing. So, does anybody blurt anything out?
Anger,
that's a good one.
When looking back, when God delivers you, don't look back. Your mind will wander to that because it's been so recent.
That's right. You don't look back at the illness. That's very good. Don't look at the way you were.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the infirmity, whether it's a body or mind or soul. But go. Okay, hold that thought. What?
Don't justify.
Yeah, that's good. Don't justify. Yeah, that's good. What else? That's right. We justify ourselves all the time. That's a good one. Go ahead.
I've been noticing a strange thing happening. God miraculously healed my back in an incredible way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been finding that as I try to share that with people, people are getting angry with me. And it's like,
why did God heal you and he didn't heal me?
And that fear of man makes me not want to say anything.
There's this cycle that the enemy tries to get to go on.
It is. Listen, the devil is such an insidious. There are so many aspects to the fear of man thing.
Mm-hmm.
So many aspects. It could be somebody you've already told and you know how they're going to react and you know what they need. So you, in your compassion, are trying to give them what you need. But it's hard.
Yeah.
What?
In April of 2001, Ryan went to a seminar with a healing minister, an evangelist that was in town, and he hung his crutches on the wall and walked out of that and did not use those crutches again until he was so excited. And we were living next door to my mother at the time, which is about 500. Well, it was quite a ways for him to walk. And he was so excited, he just wanted to tell Grandma. He wanted to tell Grandma. So my girlfriend was with him at the time. I had to go on to work. And him and my girlfriend, he walked to Grandma's house without
mm-hmm.
those crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at him and she said, that's not of God. I don't know where you got that, but that's not of God. And he shrunk. He ended up feared out and unbelief. 7 more came back worse. He was in a healthcare facility for 2.5 years with a wound open to the bone.
Wrong receiving. I don't know exactly how to say that, but that is such an important thing because I can tell you so many times when somebody said, I don't receive that.
Yeah.
Instead of,
yeah.
It's not of God.
Yeah.
What? Who said that's what that is?
Blasphemy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
Thank you, Jesus. And it was fear and religion.
Religious spirits, that's a good one.
That brought that on.
if we're obedient, we'll receive his blessings. But remember, he heals you not because of your goodness, but of his goodness.
Right. That's right. All these verses, there's like 300 and something verses that talk about the goodness of God. It has nothing to do with us. And then there's a whole bunch of other verses that talk about the mercies of God.
Yes.
And
doubt.
That's a good one, yeah. Doubt and unbelief. But there were sometimes a little...
Right, there was another thing that came in there because they told them never to claim it again. And so when people would say, well, what was wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you? He didn't know how.
Didn't know how.
To speak that he didn't have. I'm healed of spine because he didn't want to speak it again.
Yeah.
He didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the thing about it is that's the reason why, you know, people sometimes say in my mind, why do you keep going back to Lake Hamilton? And we tell people on the radio all the time, you need to go to Lake Hamilton. You need to get, because you need to learn these things. They don't come by osmosis. We don't just get this in our spirit because we're a Christian. It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Go ahead, Cherie, and then...
I think it's really important, too, for once you get healed, to have a foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we can have an experience and there's no foundation.
Right. That's exactly right. See, if he had done that correct, if he had known the right thing to do, he would have said, I had spina bifida. God healed me.
Right.
Yeah.
And you may think that if there's anything you think that by looking at me that I've still got it, you're wrong.
That's right.
May look a little like it, but I don't have it.
That's
you know,
right.
See what I mean?
Right.
Just telling the truth.
That's
the truth.
Right.
The truth is, I had this, and God healed me.
Amen.
You don't want to cover it up. Okay, go ahead.
Compromise.
That's very good. That's
you're
very good. Compromise.
Go back home, just in your daily living, not getting up, praising, not getting intimacy.
That's
God.
Right. That's right.
Living it.
Living
you have
it.
To live it daily. If you don't live it, then you're going to lose it.
Spirit of compromise. Sometimes we don't even realize sometimes that oh, we got, did I write down hypocrisy? I'm not sure if I wrote that down. But that's so close to it. You know, there's maybe they're two different spirits, but they're very close.
Fear, too. I don't know if you mentioned fear of becoming bad.
Fear, that's right. We, you know, that's a good
not
one.
Not necessarily man, but fear of that disease.
There are lots of fears, but that's that could be a specific demon.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of it coming back. See, sometimes when you're in deliverance, you want to be very specific because that's the way they trick us.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, yeah. Like one person was delivered of pride, and so the deliverance was just pounding away at pride, and he said, pride, is there any more pride here? And he said, well, I have a little pride. Everybody needs a little pride. He said, what were you going to say? Well, somebody was going to say something back there. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Rationalizing.
Oh boy, that's a good one. Rationalization. Let's put that down.
Pride. I saw another hand. What?
Pride.
Right. That's right. Pride keeps us from saying,
I got delivered, but I got it back.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going.
Confidence in other. Yeah. Confidence in other sources.
What is the root of my thinking? Like this? Confidence in feeling.
Yeah, confidence and feelings.
Would you explain that rationalization? I didn't understand that. What would that mean?
Oh, that was good. Who said that? Go ahead and explain it. I thought that was really good. Rationalization. Part of what you just said kind of explains it too.
Yeah.
We rationalize. We give other reasons. Oh, well, God healed my back, but this is a different problem. And like it's too big for God, a different problem?
Yeah.
But we think of all kinds of rationalizations. Go ahead.
She was talking about her son, you know, and being her mother. I think that's new to ungodly authority.
Yeah.
Be something ungodly.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I believe healing and deliverance have to come hand in hand because he needed so much healing to hang on to that deliverance. I just really believe that to have the foundation.
Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
And when a person, like they'll try to put it on you,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't refute it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just decide to be quiet, okay,
yeah,
they're going to say whatever they want to say.
Chicken.
Right. Well, it's another fear of man,
yeah.
because you don't want to speak
Let's
up.
Let's put up chicken spirit.
Yeah. That's a good word for it.
Yeah, the devil knows what we're talking about, too. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, that's good. Ooh, that goes along with that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Kind
of along with those, just that oppression that's been over years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know how to be.
That's right, and you don't hardly even know when it starts sliding back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's subtle.
That's right. Passivity, that's good. That's very good. Passivity is a really good one. That's right. Passivity is so... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to judge somebody else for losing their deliverance. Mm-hmm. No, because you just wrote a purchase order for it yourself.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You want to
judge somebody else because, oh, well, they should have done better.
See, that sometimes that can even be part of rationalization because you want to go to them in compassion and love,
mm-hmm.
not judgment.
Exactly.
You want to... sometimes... You just kind of have to pray and ask God to give you an opening. You can make a miraculous opening to where you can actually say something, and sometimes you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You might not ever be received. What were you going to say?
Shame and guilt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that.
Shame and guilt. Okay, I think, well, we've got enough stuff here that's in the demons. Sometimes demons will be there. We don't even really realize that we're that... Because what happens is they might come in as a young person or come at no fault of your own when you were a child, and it's just waiting for the right opportunity to come back up. Like, Patty doesn't mind me telling you, you can say it just 1 second. She got wonderful and wonderful deliverance from Catholic demons. And it was years later when she was really experiencing such freedom that another one decided, oh, gay's going to rear his ugly head. Mariolatry, wasn't it?
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist, yeah. And you know, it happens to the best of us. Somebody that's been getting deliverance for a zillion years.
Right.
I mean, that is exactly right. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I put something close to that, but that's the perfect word.
Yeah.
That really is, and I wouldn't you know it, the devil made me run out of ink right there, but I can see it. I can see it. We almost missed that one. Well, go ahead.
Curses.
Yeah, generational curses. That's right. Now, I think that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that right now because I think a lot of time we'll have working on that. People worked on that. Dr. Noll will go over that some. In fact, I don't want to completely miss it, but I do want to leave some plenty of time for deliverance. And just think about it for just a minute. What is your name, Kim?
No.
No, the lady in the purple.
Kathy.
Kathy, well, I'm so sorry. If you would, in a minute or two, I'm going to ask you to just do a fairly concise prayer for people to repeat on generational curses. Just something concise, you know, something, you know, just to because if the generational curses on these things, just to break them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want you to do is, in a minute, when she does that, have you stand up so that you can get just a little bit of exercise before you sit back down and we'll do some deliverance. But I want people that are here, like Patty and Laura and Carla and Linda and people, that those people that are come here a lot for deliverance, that believe that deliverance is a lifestyle, they've been here for deliverance and they're going to keep coming back. And they live close and so they have a lot of opportunity. I want the rest of you to tend to your own knitting. Unless your daughter is here, if your daughter is here, you may help cast out her demons because a mother has great authority over her daughter. And other than that, you can just do your own litany, means work on your own demon now. Because the people that are going to help pass out and help you with your demons, if you're having any trouble, they'll help you, and they're going to be back tomorrow. They're going to be here at the church getting deliverance. And so if you would you go get the paper towels and pass them around to a couple people that are going to help with this? And now stand up, and when you stand up, I want you to repeat after what Kathy says.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a grip real quick and then get back with the paper towels and then we'll do it.
Oh, thank you. I have a caller to speak with you. Okay, just repeat after me.
Father,
Father,
I come to you now.
I come to you now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And His blood.
And His blood.
And I repent.
And I repent.
Of all the inherited curses.
Of all the inherited curses.
That have come into me.
That have come into me.
Through the family line.
Through the family line.
On both my mother's side.
On both my mother's side.
My father's side.
My father's side.
My spouse's side.
My spouse's side.
Back 10 generations, which is 400 years, I ask forgiveness for all of the sins that have been committed. I release myself from those curses in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, now sometimes I might interrupt myself and say cough or take a deep breath. Because if you cough on something that I say, it may be something that you don't know if it's down there, if it's there, if it's hiding from a teacher you got in the second grade. Plus, Dr. Null, if it's not there, it's egg coming out. So, you know, it's not going to hurt you to go ahead and, you know, you prime the pump, you push it out, the demon means pneumo, air, and it comes coming in and out that way. So anyway, so I'm just going to start on this, and then in a few minutes we will take a little break before the 3 o'clock meeting. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I call out all... Oops, sit down. I want you to be comfortable. Comfortable. You need to be comfortable. Concentrating. All you have to do is... It always helps to look at me. To look at me out in mass deliverance. I don't have to call it corporate deliverance. I'm old. Anyway, because it helps you concentrate on, oh yeah, this is what I'm trying to do. You don't pray. Praying doesn't help because sometimes the demons will go back down because you're praying in tongues. That sometimes is what happens. Well, the little pride stays. Remember, I just told you about they got rid of all kinds of pride demons, but little pride stays. So you want to think about, all you have to do is think about what I'm saying and say, you think to yourself, if that's there, I don't want it. You think it. Don't pray. If one of these girls may come around and say, quit praying, and then you don't think they're nuts. This is the time to, I'm casting out demons and you're letting them go. That's what we're doing. That's what deliverance is. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I command all spirits of forgetfulness to come out. I bind the spirit of forgetfulness. I bind the spirit of lack of memory. I bind the spirit of limited memory problems, and I loose you. I loose the spirit of forgetfulness. I loose the spirit of memory problems. I loose the spirit of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, I bind unbelief and I command unbelief, you come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, I bind you and I loose you, you come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, come out. Unbelief, come out. Rebellion to the things of God. Rebellion to knowing what you should do. You spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Spirit of witchcraft. Witchcraft is as a spirit of rebellion. Any spirits of witchcraft in the name of Jesus right now, I bind you and I loose you from these people. I loose you from these women. You come out. Out in the name of Jesus. You come out. You come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of witchcraft. Spirit of rebellion. Spirit of depression. The spirit of depression, you come out. Doubt, despair. Doubt in the name of Jesus. I bind you, doubt. You come out. Doubt. Unbelief. I bind you and I loose you from these people. You come out. Deep breath. Take a deep breath and cough. Push it out. Discouragement in the name of Jesus. Discouragement in the name of Jesus. Lack of hope. Hopelessness in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I loose you and I command you to come out. Out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Gloom. Gloom in the name of Jesus. I bind you. You come out. Out. Gloom. Despair. Withdrawal. Withdrawal in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of withdrawal and come out. Spirits of withdrawal, come out. Spirits of depression, gloom, withdrawal, unreality, deceit. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of deceit, the deception, the deceptive spirit, the spirits of fool. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I loose you right now. You come out in the name of Jesus. Double-minded spirits, in the name of Jesus, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Double-mindedness. I bind you and loose you. You come out.
out in the name of Jesus, by the blood, come out. I break your power. All these spirits, I break your power of anger, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Anger, you come out, out. Anger, out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of looking back, thinking about what lies behind in the name of Jesus. Spirit of lies and what lies behind, you come out in the name of Jesus. This is a new day, you come out in the name of Jesus. What lies behind, you come out in the name of Jesus. Self-justification. I bind the spirit of self-justification. You come out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Fear of man. Fear. Unbelief. Spirit of fear and unbelief. Spirit of fear. Spirit of unbelief. I bind you. I loose you. And in Jesus' name, you come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Unbelief. Receiving the wrong thing. Blasphemy in the name of Jesus. Believing wrong and saying wrong. Blasphemy in Jesus' name. You come out. You come out. You come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of blasphemy. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Unbelief and doubt. Fear of man. Religious spirits, I bind you. You are loose from this group and you come out. Religious spirits, and hypocrisy, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Hypocrisy and compromise. I bind the spirit of compromise. I bind you. I loose you from these people. Compromise. Come out. Compromise in the name of Jesus. You are bound. I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out. Out. Compromise. Out. Hypocrisy. Out. Fear. Out. Hypocrisy in the name of Jesus. You come out. I bind you and I loose you from these people. You come out. You are bound. I break your power. I break it in the name of Jesus. Fear. Fear of it coming back. The fear of it coming back. Fear and unbelief. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of rationalization. Rationalizing. I bind you. Spirit of rationalizing. I bind you. I bind you in Jesus' name. And you come out. Out by the blood. Out by the blood. Come out. Out, out, out. I break your power. I break it. Come out. Out. Rationalization and pride. Pride. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Pride. Come out. I bind pride. I bind you, pride. You are bound and loose in the name of Jesus. You come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out, pride. Out. Out. The voices of authority, those false authority in your life in the name of Jesus. False authority. False authority that keeps you from believing Jesus, looking to Jesus. In Jesus' name you come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out. Out by the blood. By the blood, by the blood. Mocking spirit in the name of Jesus. Come out. I bind the spirit of mocking. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out. You are bound and I loose you in the name of Jesus. I loose you. The chicken spirit. You come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Being afraid and unbelief. Chicken spirit. Come out. In the name of Jesus, spirit man, I bind you and loose all the troops that have to do with that, that have to do with the spirit of man. All the troops that try to stay, the strong man of heaviness, I bind you in Jesus' name. Heaviness, you are bound and loose. Bind you in Jesus' name. Heaviness, come out. Out, out in the name of Jesus. Heaviness, come out. Intimidation. I bind you through intimidation. I bind you. Come out. 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 Out in the name of Jesus. Shame. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit called subtle. Come out. You think these are just subtle things. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Subtlety. Out. Out. Shame. Guilt. Guilt, in Jesus' name, unworthiness. I bind shame, guilt, and unworthiness, and all your troops, in the name of Jesus, you all come out right now. Unworthiness, bind you and loose you, in Jesus' name, you come out. Out in the name of Jesus, out by the blood of Jesus. Unworthiness, come out, out. I bind you, and you come out, out in the name of Jesus. Hypochondria, spirit of hypochondria, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out by the blood of Jesus, come out. Hypochondria, come out, out. I bind you. You're loose. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Self-indulgence. Come out. I bind you and you come out. You have no right to stay in this temple of the Holy Spirit. Self-indulgence. You come out. Come out. Self-indulgence. Come out. Take a deep breath and cough. Blindness to God's goodness. Blindness. Blindness. You just can't see. Deceit and blindness. I bind you. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. You have no more power. You come out. You leave these people. You leave them. reverence to man or doctors or anybody that tells you the wrong authority, and reverence to the wrong authority in Jesus' name. Reverence to man, I bind you, your spirit of reverence to the wrong person. Reverence is reserved for God. Husband, reverence in the name of Jesus. Misplaced reverence in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind you in Jesus' name. Misplaced reverence. Lack of faith. Lack of faith. In Jesus' name. Come out. Lack of faith. Self-pity. Self-pity for me. Self-pity for me. I bind you. Spirit of for me. Spirit of self-pity. I bind you. You come out. Self-pity. For me. Indifference to God. Indifference in Jesus' name. Apathy. Apathy. I bind you. Apathy. You come out. Apathy. Indifference. Indifference in Jesus' name. Indifference. Come out. 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 Indifference. Out. Loss of memory. Out. Vague memory. Vague memory. Come out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. I bind vague memory. Out. The things you've forgotten that keep you from remembering in Jesus' name, I bind them all. Right now, all your troops, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Disobedience. Disobedience. Self-centeredness. I bind self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Disobedience, you come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Disobedience, self-centeredness, self-importance, pride, all the spirits relating to pride, self-importance, in Jesus' name, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out. Lying spirits. Spirits that lie to her. In Jesus' name, those lying spirits, I bind you. The spirits that lie to her, you come out. You spirits that lie about the truth. Out, out, out. Liars, out. Lying spirits, out. The spirits that control her mind. In Jesus' name, mind control. Mind control. Find mind control and come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out. Apathy. Apathy in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out. Come out, apathy. Hard-heartedness. Come out. Hard-heartedness. Come out. Hardness of heart. Hypocrisy. Come out. Hard-heartedness in the name of Jesus. I bind you and you come out. You come out. Meanness. Meanness. Come out. Meanness. Come out in the name of Jesus, by the blood. By the blood, dissatisfaction. Dissatisfied spirit. You come out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Those spirits that cause you to be dissatisfied. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. Come out. Spirit of hopelessness. You are bound in Jesus' name. You come out. Hopelessness. Hopelessness, come out. Delusion. Spirit of delusion. Spirit of delusion, come out. 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 You are bound. Come out. Out. Deep breath, cough, delusion, deceit, out, come out. Delusion is deceit, you come out, out. Destruction, the spirit of destruction, you destroying spirit, you can't destroy these people. The temple of the Holy Spirit, you can't destroy these people, you come out, destroyer, out. Destroying spirit, you come out, out in the name of Jesus, come out. Out. Self-hatred. Self-hatred in Jesus' name. Unworthiness. By the blood of Jesus, unworthiness, self-hatred, you come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out. Out, self-hatred. Unworthiness. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, come out. Religious spirit, out, out, out. I bind the spirit, religious spirit, and you come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Confusion, confusion. Bind you, confusion. Confusion in the name of Jesus, you come out. Before the, you can continue. You can take a little break before the next meeting.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.